It's time to get away from it all. Doesn't matter if you say you or y'all. Let's all get out there and have some fun. Bluff City Outdoor Show is for everyone. Welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show.
Thank you, Perry Woods, and indeed, welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Tony Colombo in studio here with producer Leah and my partner Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors. Great to see you.
Yep. Hey, Tony, it's good to be back.
Yeah, and official beginning of summer this past week, and so we're officially in the summer season, and this weekend is supposed to be the beginning of the real Midwest St. Louis heat.
Yeah, it's supposed to be kind of hot, you know. But I guess it's still not as humid as it normally would be.
Yeah, we don't have the terrible humidity that we, you know, will, I'm sure, have and are used to here. But, yeah, we've kind of gotten away with it, I think, for a while. I mean, it's hard to believe, but it's like almost July.
Yep, almost July.
It's almost July, and we really haven't had any like
you've had a few days in
heat.
The, you know, 94, 95-ish, mm-hmm. but they were just a day, boom, then back cooler. So, so far we've had a pleasant summer.
Pretty lucky. Yeah, totally agree. On that front, how are things? What are you hearing at the shop just about, you know, fishing conditions, the weather impact, anything, you know, what are you hearing from the guys?
Yeah, people are still catching a lot of fish. The, you know, the crappie have pretty much spawned out and stuff. And, but you know, you're moving on to catching white bass and catfish mm-hmm. and, you know, you just kind of move from one, you know, it's seasonal. The bass bite's been outstanding on top water stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm hearing that a lot.
Yeah.
And then also hearing low water.
I was just going to ask that if you had heard of any impact of the drought and the low water that people are.
Yeah, just you're just hearing it on, you know, every body of water.
Yeah.
You know, from small ponds up to the bigger lakes, are just everything's low.
Yeah. And it doesn't sound like it's necessarily impacting like stopping people from catching fish or having, but it definitely is changing the approach, and you have to look. Especially if you're on a river or something like that, you have to look for things that maybe you didn't have to look for in the past, or certain areas that you could access. Or
they may be too shallow.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just got to be more, a little more leery, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. of places that, hey, there used to be 8 feet of water here. There might only be three.
Yeah.
You just got to be aware of that.
Yeah. In fact, today's guest is the 10 Horse Monty himself, Gabe Montgomery, who is one of our fishing reporters. He is part of... he always gives us a part of our fishing report, which, of course, we will also bring to you a little bit later on in the show. I know a lot of people tune in each and every week for that fishing report. That'll be coming your way here in just a little while. And Gabe is on the water right now, so we will get a firsthand account here in just a few minutes of what is happening out on the water, and we'll talk to him about the impact because he fishes all over the area, primarily in Illinois. But all over the bi-state area and in many bodies of water, so he will get some firsthand reaction to what is happening out there on the water here in just a few minutes. So looking forward to that. Also, I wanted to we don't do a lot of politics on the Bluff City Outdoor Show, but this story broke this week. We actually touched on this on Colombo and Katie on Friday. But this new piece of regulation coming out of the Biden White House is going to directly impact, fishermen and hunters across the country. So, you know, we don't like to do a lot of politics on the show, but I think that this one is a story that, that needs to be talked about. Of course, you know, when it comes to the Second Amendment conversation, you know, Joe Biden in the White House will always say that they're not coming after hunters. It's not going to impact hunting. We like, you know, we want people that are hunters to keep their Second Amendment rights and all of that. And there's certainly a debate to be had, a conversation to be had, if there's any honesty in that statement. But this is the first time that it's sort of a direct slap in the face or a direct attack against hunters and fishermen. So the Biden administration announced this week that it is moving ahead with prohibitions on the type of equipment hunters are allowed to use on federal land, a move strongly opposed by sportsmen groups. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service released its 2023-2024 hunting and fishing rule, an annual plan laying out regulations for the upcoming hunting season, banning cost-effective lead ammunition and fishing tackle across 8 national wildlife reserves by 2026. Such an action has been supported by eco groups, but opposed by hunters who argue that it could serve as a backdoor attack on hunting more broadly. Quote, "This is the latest example of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service creating rules that punish hunters, threaten conservation funding, and advance special interests without scientific evidence that traditional lead ammunition is causing detrimental wildlife population impacts." That was Lawrence Keen. He's the senior vice president of the National Shooting Sports Foundation. He goes on to say, quote, "This administration is ignoring its promise to follow the science. In fact, it's ignoring the need for scientific evidence in order to advance an anti-gun and anti-hunting agenda." So Biden administration, at least to the level that they can right now, are banning certain types of lead ammunition and fishing tackle and outlawing them where they can on various pieces of federal land starting in 2026. And they are moving forward with that right now. And this is the first I'd ever even heard.
Yeah, it's first I've heard of it.
Of this. And I agree with the vice president of the National Shooting Sports Foundation, Lawrence Keen, there when he says, look, this, it's never, they don't stop.
No, they never stop.
They never stop. So no. It's time to open your eyes and start paying attention, because this is the first step in limiting some of your rights out there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they don't stop. I mean, that's the best way to put it. I mean, when you know, they take an inch, they'll take that inch, and then they'll come for the next inch, and then the next inch.
And the mistake, I think, has been made countless times over the years, where people say, you know what, okay, if we just, we'll work with you on this one, we'll negotiate with you on this one, we'll give a little more than we wanted, and then you know, that'll put it to bed, and we can all move on. That's not ever how it works.
No.
You give a little bit, they close that deal, and then they immediately start on the next one.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You think, oh, I did what on my part, and I gave a little bit, more.
Thinking that's going to be it, but it never is.
And it never happens. Have you even heard, I didn't even know there was legislation or regulation targeting lead-based fishing equipment or ammunition. I've never even heard of that controversy, let alone the specific.
We've heard of it a little bit. I mean, here and there, instead of trying to switch over to some other product, like they did with the shotgun shells, moving it over to steel or bismuth or something like that. But I mean, if you look at it from a science perspective, where does lead come from? The ground.
I was going to say the earth.
When you shoot a shotgun shell, where does that shot end up back? The earth.
The earth.
It's returning it to its native place.
It's natural life cycle.
It's a natural. I mean,
I didn't even know this was a problem.
No.
I didn't know it was a problem, and now apparently it is. And I think it's the most important part of this is, I think it needs to be time to open your eyes and start paying attention. If this was happening, if this was being put together and negotiated and worked on all this time without any of us knowing, what else is out there?
They always do this stuff. They don't do it through the legislative branch. They always just do it through the executive branch, where they can make these rules and regulations, whether they make sense or not.
Right, right.
I was shocked to hear the new, we got to have a new coolant,
Yeah.
And when you guys were talking about that Friday, it never ends.
Yeah, they're coming forever. I mean,
they want to get everybody living in a urban area, in a skyrise apartment, living in a little cube, and kind of like the Matrix almost. Maybe not quite that bad, but I think that's what they would really like us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just exist.
By and large, would you say that the hardcore outdoorsmen, hunters, fishermen, people that are really into it, are they more politically engaged, active than the regular person, or is it just about the same as the regular person?
I'm going to say they're probably more politically engaged, just mm-hmm. because they're kind of the front lines.
I feel the same way.
Of being attacked. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, when I go back and look, being a trapper, the trappers have been attacked for decades.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
They're used to having to deal with federal regulation and overreach.
And it's all overreach.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were following the science, there'd be a bounty on raccoons right now because there's so many of them and they're causing so much. They get into everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're a nuisance. They're mm-hmm. they're probably a worse problem than a rat
mm-hmm.
because they're bigger and there's more of them. And, you know, a rat can't really rip the soffit off your house and go into your attic, but a raccoon can. And if you were following the science, there'd be a bounty on them because they need to be checked.
Yeah.
You know, nature produces an excess of everything. That's how it ensures that its species goes on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That excess, it can grow and grow and grow, and then eventually disease will wipe it out. You know, and it sets it back for a while, and then it just builds again. I mean, and it just, but, you know, it's just, nature's not, you know, it's very cruel. It's not kind when it does that. And you're better off following the science and managing things properly.
Amen.
You know, fish are the same way.
You get
too many bluegill in a pond, they stunt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just.
I agree with you, though. I think that the avid outdoorsman is more used to having to be educated about regulations and, you know, and it kind of automatically makes you be a little bit more engaged in that sort of, you know, in that.
Yeah, because the activities you pursue are, mm-hmm. are they're kind of the ones that they are after.
Yeah. So I'm not saying this is the biggest, you know, the worst bill of all time and, you know, like this full frontal attack on hunters and fishermen. But I think it's I think it's an important story to talk about from the standpoint of get ready. And it if you are someone that is engaged, you know, keep your eyes open. And if, you know, maybe if you're not somebody that's been as engaged, maybe start to look into this a little bit because, you know, they'll come for your rights if it's politically advantageous for them, they'll come for you.
Yep. And you know, and you know, when you look at, you know, on that side of the fence, that side of the aisle, they're typically not your outdoorsmen.
Yeah.
You know, they're not mm-hmm. the ones that are going out and pursuing these, you know, outdoor activities. I mean, those, you know, fishing and hunting are for some people. I mean, yes, they enjoy getting out doing it, but there are people that actually go, you know, for food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they, you know, it puts good quality meat on their table.
Yes. And there's nobody that does more for the environment than the outdoors community.
Yep.
There's nobody that keeps the waters and the parks clean more than
I forget the name of the act, Pittman Robertson Act or something like that. It's 10% get added to all fishing tackle as an excise tax to go into wildlife conservation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
People,
you know, if you're bird watching, you know, you're using a camera or, you know, you're not paying that 10% on that camera, but you're enjoying the fruits of that conservation.
Right.
So, you know, I mean,
And if you're a big supporter of a green future, then you should be working with the outdoors people.
Nothing is more green.
Not against them. Yeah. Because they are your biggest allies. They're the ones doing more work for clean water, clean parks, clean land.
Yeah, conservation doesn't mean you don't use that wildlife resource.
Right.
It means you use it wisely.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
And that's what
Tim Shelswick from Drury Outdoors. I mean, he preaches that stuff. You know, he's one of the best hunters I know. One of the most educated, you know, when it comes to hunting and fishing and a lot of that stuff. And he is passionate about keeping the waters clean and doing his part and going above and beyond to keep the land.
If people a lot of people don't get the
animals healthy,
the ecosystem.
Yeah.
I mean, but if you got a beautiful cattail marsh full of muskrats, okay. And me and my dad, when I was in college, I trapped my way through school. You know, you would go into that cattail marsh and, you know, we pretty much knew exactly how many you were going to take out of that cattail marsh before the season started. You'd sit there. Yeah, that swamp's good for 75. You'd get those 75 out of there. The next year, they'd be replenished. and they'd be replenished year mm-hmm. after year after year. Now, what happens if you don't take those out,
mm-hmm.
then they're very prolific. They eventually, they breed so much that they consume all the cattails, and then you end up with just a mud hole that's not supporting really hardly any life because there's no vegetation there. And I've seen that happen.
Exactly.
And it takes decades sometimes for that vegetation to return to the way it was. Whereas if you had just kept that number in check,
yep,
and used the product, used the fur for something good, it was self-sustaining.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
you know, because nature generates an excess, you know, if you don't take it, eventually it will be taken.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not in a pleasant way.
Yep. No. Great conversation. I think an important conversation. And, you're not hearing this being talked about anywhere else. So, I think it's important stuff. If you know anybody that likes to talk about hunting and fishing and, all these great outdoor activities, make sure you tell them about the show here, Bluff City Outdoor Show, and make sure that you and anybody that you know that's into this stuff are also subscribed to our podcast. The Bluff City Outdoors Show podcast is available on just about every podcast platform there is. You can also find it on the Bluff City Outdoors Facebook page each and every week. We put every show up as a podcast shortly after we get off the air. And I know a lot of folks out there take us with them when they are outside or out fishing, especially with, the fishing report and things like that. So we certainly appreciate all that support. And again, encourage you to share with anybody that you think would like to hear this content on a regular basis. All right, we are going to go out to the water, live to the water right now. Our buddy Gabe Montgomery, the 10 Horse Monty, is fishing as we speak, and he's going to join us on the Bluff City Outdoors Show here in just a moment on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk.
But I learned how to swim, and I learned who I was, a lot about living and a little about love.
This is the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
This whiskey sure tastes fine right now, but it ain't doing the trick, no. It ain't getting me going.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Tony Colombo here with producer Leah and Mark McMurray from Bluff City Outdoors. We are going to talk to the 10 Horse himself, 10 Horse Monty. Gabe Montgomery is going to be on the phone with us in just a second. But first, I want to remind you, as we talk about the official beginning of summer this past week and all the great outdoor activities that come along with it. Of course, grilling is one of those great outdoor activities that hopefully you are doing, taking advantage of right now as much as possible. I know we are at our house. And when you do that, make sure you have a bag of Rockwood Lump Charcoal with you. Rockwood Lump Charcoal is it's just a superior product across the board. It's a great local business run by Jonathan Heslop, who you've heard on this show and on this radio station many times. Missouri's the number one producer of charcoal in the country, so you're supporting local industry as well. And Rockwood Lump Charcoal has been rated the number one consumer ranked charcoal 9 years in a row. So you're also using the best product there is. It can't get any better than that. Rockwood Lump Charcoal is superior to the traditional briquettes that you use. Those briquettes are just full of filler and extra chemicals. Rockwood Lump Charcoal is basically Missouri hardwoods. That's it. It's just basically pure carbon, which means you don't have to use as much of it when you grill. It means that it burns faster, it burns hotter, it gives you more control of the entire experience. And it's just a superior product across the board. So next time you're grilling, make sure you have a bag of Rockwood Lump Charcoal with you. And Rockwood is available at over 100 area stores. Find the closest one to you and pick up some grilling tips and tricks all at rockwoodcharcoal.com. All right. Gabe Montgomery, 10 Horse Monty from the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel is on the water as we speak. So he's doing better than anybody here in the studio is.
Oh, yeah.
Gabe, thanks as always for joining us. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. I'm glad I could jump on here and hang out with you guys. Yeah, it's nice out here. You know, I'm sitting over here in the shade, and I got a little bit of a breeze, and there's literally like two boats in the parking lot.
Oh, man.
I'm not trying to rub it in or anything, but I am kind of trying to rub it in.
I'm going to just, instead of looking at it as rubbing it in. I'm just going to live vicariously through you. I'm just going to try to see through your eyes right now. And it's perfect because we, you know, Gabe is one of the contributors to our weekly fishing report, which we will be bringing to you in the next segment. So definitely keep it here for that. And also somebody, as I mentioned, Gabe, you know, we have a lot of guys that, like Mike Marfell is Lake of the Ozarks. I mean, he fishes other places, obviously, but that's his spot. That's his go-to. But I know you, just from your personal preference, but also with the YouTube channel, you cover a lot more bodies of water. You kind of bounce all over the place, lakes, rivers, all over the area, a lot in Illinois, but, you know, throughout the bi-state area. And today you're out on Cedar Lake, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, Cedar Lake. It's a 1,800-acre lake near Carbondale, Illinois. It's a 10-horsepower limit lake, so there's
beautiful.
No pleasure boats, no pontoons,
perfect.
No big, you know, cigarette boats running around, no giant wakes. You don't have to worry about any of that. It's super peaceful, and there's a lot of lakes over. And the reason I fish over in Illinois a lot is because I live really close to the Mississippi River in Missouri, so it's about an hour drive to almost all these lakes over here. And the same goes for Missouri. There's a few lakes that are about an hour away, but there's more to offer over here, you know, on the other side of the river for me personally, and I can bounce around. We've got Kincaid, I've got Lake of Egypt, you got Crab Orchard, you got Devil's Kitchen, Little Grassy, Cedar Lake, Murfreesboro Lake. There's a bunch of strip pits up north. There's just a lot to offer over here. And on the Missouri side, I have Clearwater Lake and Wapapello, and then there's, you know, a few smaller lakes that are about 30 minutes from the house. So there's quite a bit to do. You got to drive about an hour to get to anywhere, but, you know, an hour is not too terribly bad. It's not like I got to drive away to Lake of the Ozarks to get on the body of water.
Yeah.
So I just kind of deal with it.
What are some of the, we don't want to give away everybody's hidden jewel or anything like that, but, you know, I know guys, myself included, are always looking for a new place to go, a new lake to check out or whatever it may be. What are some of the lakes in the area that come to your mind, top of mind, in either state, Missouri or Illinois, that are, you know, an hour or less around the, you know, Metro St. Louis area that people can jump to that maybe not a lot of people know about that are some good lakes that people can check out?
Well, you know, I'm not sure how far Pickneyville is from where you're at.
Mm-hmm. A little over an hour.
Yeah.
A little over an hour. Okay. And I know Mark's talked about this before, but those strip pits up there, that Pyramid State Park has a lot to offer. There's multiple lakes up there. I believe there's like 50 lakes. Now, some of them are really small and they're just portage in. You got to drag the kayak in or fish off the bank. But there's five or six that have legitimate concrete ramps and a parking lot. And then there's just as many that have gravel ramps. And you can go over there and spend the whole day over there. If they're not biting in one lake, you can put your boat back on the trailer or throw your kayak back in the bed of your truck and move on to the next one. You can fish several in a day, and usually one of them is going to be fishing a little bit better than the other. And it's a pretty peaceful experience. There's not a lot of traffic. They're no wake, so there's nobody even running around.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a kayak fisherman, I mean, it's definitely the place to be. And they're pretty accessible from the bank too. So if you don't have a boat and you're, you know, stuck with bank fishing, you can definitely park near the dam or whatever and make a little walk and catch you some fish. They're stocked pretty well too. There's some really good fish over there.
Mark, what about, like, what do you hear from your, like, when the same question, when people are kind of looking for a place to go, what are some of the lakes that you think of or whatever bodies of water that you think of that maybe don't get the attention or reputation that they should, that are great places?
It's kind of like the Pyramid down there. I can't remember the name. There's another state-owned group of strip pits that's south. Mm-hmm. It's down by New Athens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another one that it's same type thing, you know, small boats, kayaks, but good fishing. And then I know a lot of people that actually go down, and because I used to fish it as a kid, down to the DeCoin City Reservoir down there. And it's not a huge lake, you know, 80, 90 acres maybe, but it was always really good fishing, especially for panfish. And same thing there. You just put a small boat in there or fish. It was very accessible from the bank, too.
Yeah.
And those are a couple.
I think that might be the Peabody River King. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, Peabody River King. That's that group out by Nathan, New Athens.
Nice. So what's the experience like right now out there, Gabe? What are you looking for? What is the bite? Is it hot? Is it cold? Is it tell us some of the things that you're experiencing this time of year, and I mean literally like right now because you're on the water.
Well, it's definitely hot out here because the air temperature is like 88, mm-hmm. almost 90 degrees.
Getting hotter too, yeah.
I've only been out here. I've been fishing for about 30 minutes. So what I did was I kind of idled around, which is typically what I do. I'm kind of looking for the bait this time of the year. A lot of the fish have pulled up out of the grass because the spawn is over. And these lakes do have grass. I mentioned grass, you know. Lakes like Lake of the Ozarks and Table Rock, you don't have grass to hold fish. So there's multiple variables on a lake that has grass. There's always going to be fish up shallow in the grass. There's going to be some that are out off the grass, the deeper grass line. And then there's going to be some that are truly offshore fish that are on brush piles, out off the end of points. They're looking for hard spots, anything that just holds their attention. And there's a lot of them that just kind of roam around and they just follow bait fish. They can literally be out in the middle of the lake relating to nothing but schools of bait. So I typically do a little bit of idling and just kind of see if I can figure out where the bait is at. If I'm not seeing a lot of bait out in open water, I can almost assume, I hate using the word assume, but I can probably, I got a good idea that there might be bait relating to the grass. So then I may start my approach, you know, fishing in the grass. But if I'm seeing bait out deeper, I'm going to figure out how deep that bait is. If it's seems like it's focused on, you know, in that 10-foot zone or 12-foot zone or whatever, I'm going to start looking for structure that's in that 10 to 12 foot zone, whether it be brush piles, points that break off, little ledges, humps, anything like that, that I can focus on. And that's kind of what I did. I've been doing a little live scoping. I got this live scope last year and it's very addictive. It can get out of hand really quick. It's fun watching fish, just throwing at them. And that's kind of what I did. I knew you guys were going to call, so I didn't get too far into my day. And I was just kind of plinking a little worm out here and trying to catch some fish. I did catch one small fish and I've been throwing it a lot of fish. And you know, if anybody that's listening to this has live scope, you know that you definitely don't catch all the fish that you see, but it's a good tool for knowing you're around fish. It gives you confidence to keep throwing at fish. So that's kind of what I've been up to the last 30 minutes or so.
Yeah. I can't think of anything that we've talked about recently that's had a bigger impact, like innovation, technology, whatever, you know. Sometimes it's a particular lure and sometimes it's the electronics. It seems like the electronics have come a long way over just the last couple of years.
There's been a big jump in
the advancement.
That's really,
yeah, you see
been it the last 2-3-4 years. I mean that's been a game changer. Changes how people fish. Uh-huh. You know, like I said, they now see a fish, target it, try to catch it. And
I feel like it's being more accepted, you know, like something like this, like especially when it's a piece of technology that costs a little bit of money, that there's always that group that's like, oh, this is cheating. You know, like this is, you know, you're buying your way into success and that's not the way it's supposed to be. And, you know, you always kind of have that resistance and there's always that debate on, you know, there's two sides of that argument always. But I feel like over the last couple of years, when we first saw this coming in, the resistance to it was stronger than it is now. There's more acceptance.
Without a doubt. Yeah, people realize it's just another tool. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you still got to go catch them. Mm-hmm. You know, and while you're spending time looking at that fish, well, maybe somebody over there is catching other fish that are maybe higher, you know, bigger.
Would you agree with that assessment, Gabe, about the technology that it's had a massive impact and it's starting to be more universally accepted recently? Am I right or am I wrong in what you've experienced?
Yeah, I think you're right. There's been a lot more people that have got it. I mean, it's still got a little controversy to it. You've mm-hmm, got mm-hmm. YouTubers like Randy.
And that'll never go away. Like, there's always going to be your traditionalists. There'll always be that group that just doesn't agree with that.
Yep.
But go ahead. I'm sorry. Right. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was going to say it's still a little controversial. Here's a little short, funny story. I do a live stream. Jonathan and I do a live stream on Monday nights at 8:00 Central on my YouTube channel. And we did a stream a couple weeks ago. And Del Colvin, who is a guide on Bull Shoals Lake, was our guest. And we had a really nice conversation. Our streams are long. They're an hour and a half, 2 hours. It's long format. But we got to talking about LiveScope, and we dove in pretty deep on it, not too long, 10 minutes or so. And one of the first comments I got on the video was, man, the live stream was really nice until you guys started bloviating on LiveScope.
Oh,
so there's always those people that don't like it.
Yeah.
But most people have come to accept it. And like you said, it's a tool. It's just a tool. It just shows you what's going on. You got to figure out how to work it into your game. If you don't know how to fish without it, you're not going to be that good of a fisherman. Mm-hmm. You got to learn how to, you still got to learn the roots and the core and the basic stuff that, you know, most of us have learned as a kid. It's changed the game, though. It has definitely changed the game. So there's always, like you said, there's always going to be people that don't like any technology. You know, people still want to, when the computer came out, there's people that still like the typewriter. you name it. There's people that's still going to try to hold on to that old stuff.
I want to get
it's changing.
I want to get into the fishing report here in just a minute. But before we get there, one more question before we make that transition. Right now with us this time of year, we're, you know, getting into the hotter weather, water temperatures obviously getting up to as hot as they're, you know, going to get, or, you know, we're getting to that area now. We're post-spawn, all that kind of stuff. If you, Gabe, are out on the water, you're going out and you're struggling a little bit, having a hard time finding them, what is your go-to this time of year right now, your go-to one or two lures, bait, setup, whatever it may be, when you're struggling that you have the most confidence in, like, if I'm going to find them, if I'm going to catch them, this is how I'm going to catch them?
You know, one of the best ways to catch a fish in the summertime is just with a 7-inch plastic worm. The old power bait worm is hard to beat on a 1/4-ounce weight with a 3-aught hook,
available
a 15-pound test, and like a 7-foot.
Yeah, all available at Bluff City Outdoors.
We said available at Bluff City Outdoors in Alton, Illinois, all colors.
Of course. Yeah, plug it, Bluff City, exactly. Man, but that bait has been around forever and it still works. You can rig it Texas rig. You can put it on a shaky head. There's a lot of ways to rig it and they all work. And that's if something's on the bottom. And if I feel like the fish are kind of up off the bottom and suspended, if I'm seeing a lot of activity, surface activity, a small swim bait is hard to beat. Just like a 3.3 Kitec or a 3.5-inch Hogs custom bait swim bait on a little 1/4-ounce ball head. Just
available Bluster Outdoors. Hold on.
Throw that on a spinning rod. Yeah, it's hard to beat. I mean, it looks like a little shad out there. It's just those two baits. You got one that you can, you know, cast and reel in, then you got one that you can drag around. You can't go wrong with those.
Awesome. Well, you can get great insight, great fishing content all the time on the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. Gabe Montgomery is with us. He's going to stick around and be a part of the fishing report as well. And I say it almost every week, Gabe. Between our podcast, the Bluff City Outdoors Show podcast, and the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel, you can get a whole lot of fishing information downloaded on a regular basis by subscribing to those two things, the Bluff City Outdoors Show podcast and the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. For people that haven't checked out the YouTube channel before, just give yourself a quick little plug before we get into the fishing report.
Yeah, so I've been trying to drop videos on Wednesdays and Fridays, and it's kind of slowed down a little bit. I've kind of got back on track, but we have been doing Monday night live streams at 8:00. So video drops are Wednesday and Friday. 10 Horse Monty Fishing on YouTube, and then Gabe Montgomery Fishing, or 10 Horse Monty on Facebook, and then 10 Horse Monty 6 on Instagram. That's all my socials.
Definitely cannot recommend it enough. All right, we are going to bring you this week's fishing report in just a moment, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk.
I need a lake, a little bit of bait. I'd even take a creek. I'm tired of all these concrete streets we were running.
You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Tony Colombo, producer Leah, and Mark McMurray, owner of Bluff City Outdoors, in studio with you and on the phone with us is Gabe Montgomery, a.k.a. the 10 Horse Monty from the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. Also, one of our regular contributors to our fishing report. And it is indeed that time of the week. So Gabe will be here to give it to his portion of it live for once, which is very, very nice. And Mark, why don't you go ahead and kick us off?
Okay, well, now we'll get started. We'll first off, we'll go to Truman Lake with Jordan Lear. He's a guide and a buddy out there. Crappie are good. Fish 10 to 25 feet of water, 6 to 14 feet down. Fish the standing timber on the main lake flats and the brush piles. Jigs and minnows are both working. Catfish, good. Drift in the main lake flats and humps, 10 to 20 feet with fresh shad, live or cut. Bass, good. Fish the main lake points and brush piles. Half-ounce football jigs around the brush piles and 8 to 20 feet of water. Square bill crankbaits, 10-inch plastic worms, Texas rigged, and brush hogs are working. Topwater baits are early in late in the evening. Spooks, whopper ploppers, and buzz baits. The walleye are good. Fish the main lake humps and points, crawler harnesses, and trolling crankbaits working on the shallow flats. Throwing a 3-inch pearl and chartreuse sliders on a 1/4-ounce head is also working on the humps. White bass and hybrids are fair. Fish the main lake humps and the flats with live shad on a Carolina rig. 13 to 25 feet of water. Rattle traps are also working. Topwater bite has been decent early morning and late evening with Czar spooks. Running out to Mark Twain, Jason Kaiser, Mark Twain Fishing Intel. Bass are biting topwater early in the morning. Try a popper or a spook. They're also going out to the main lake points as well, with some on the secondary points. Target the 10 to 15 feet range right now. Soft plastic, shaky heads, 10-inch worms are starting to play. Crappie bites tough right now for bigger fish. The crappie are schooled up on the brush and pole timber in 10 to 20 feet of water. Minnows and soft plastics are working for the most part. You have to catch a bunch of smaller crappie in the group to try to catch one or two decent eaters. So you just got to keep moving. Catfish, getting reports catfish bites pretty good on the North Fork area on trout lines and bank poles. Cut shad and perch seem to be the bait of choice. And we're running out to Carlisle. Eric Moore, he's on my pro staff. Carlisle Lake level is 445.15. Water temp is 75 degrees. Catfish are actively feeding heavy on multiple baits, not picky at all right now, and are being caught with many tactics from bank fishing to drifting to jugging in great numbers. White bass are not on fire yet. There are some nice ones being caught, just not in the large numbers. Crappie are spotty, and there's still some carrying eggs, but they are biting and seem to be wanting the bait moving. Run out to Wren, Fred Mooney. Lake level has held steady since last week, still 407.2. Crappie bite is hot. The water temps are hitting 80. Dark color baits are more successful this week. In a few days, a tip to minnow helped pick up more finicky slabs. Catfish bite is as good as you will see all year. Local rivers and lakes, Eric Morey again. The blue cat are in the spawn, and if you can find them, they are definitely feeding. Largemouth bass are active and biting almost anything. Bluegill are done spawning in most places, as well as the water temperature up in the mid-70s, and the fish are very active. River catfishing with Jason Snyderhan. St. Louis gauge 2.37 is and starting to fall. Surface temp is 78. Catfish are hitting a skipjack and says fishing is starting to pick up. Shelbyville out to Mad England. Lake level 600.08. Water temp 74 degrees. Clarity 12 to 18 inches. Crappie fishing on Lake Shelbyville is excellent right now. 1 to 10 feet of water. The fish are typically at 3 to 4 feet. Minnows are plastics and it needs to be moving. Over to you, Gabe, for Southern Illinois.
Mark, that was impressive. That was a mouthful.
he's good at this.
Getting better at it.
I'm telling you, he's good. He's good. Go ahead, Gabe.
Jeez. All right, I'll start with Kincaid Lake. So Kincaid right now is going to be high 70s, maybe low 80s, and the clarity is going to be 5 to 8 foot. We've had very little rain, so all these lakes over here in Southern Illinois are very, very clear. Starting out in the morning, topwater is going to always be a good play. Something walking like a small Czar spook, even a chug bug. Slide up on those points. Those fish are going to be up there early. After that, sun gets up, you're going to have to move out a little bit deeper, target that outside grass edge, and also a frog. Don't forget about the frog. These lakes are starting to get some grass mats on them. You can slide back in any of those coves, any of the main lake stuff, and throw your favorite popping frog. I like something white or something black. Pretty much 90% of the time, other than around the spawn, I'll throw an orange in the mix. But a black and white frog with some 50-pound braid and a stiff rod worked up with this grass match will get you some bites. Move over to Lake of Egypt. Same conditions, basically. The water temps are going to be high 70s, and it's going to be clear, 5 to 7 foot, maybe 8 foot of visibility. All the lakes are about a foot to foot and a half low due to the lack of the rain. I would be looking for suspended fish on Egypt. You're going to see a lot of schooling activity. That lake's notorious for having schooling activity, so you can just keep your eyes peeled and look around visually for birds. You're going to see fish breaking the surface. When you do find those fish, fire a topwater in there, fire a small swim bait. Also look for brush piles off the points and stuff. And any kind of soft plastic bait, Texas rigged, a shaky head. You cannot go wrong with a shaky head. If you're just going to go over there and throw one thing, tie on a small shaky head on a spin rod, 8-pound test, just go down the bank, stay out deep, cover some water, and you will catch some fish. Crab Orchard Lake, 1 to 3 foot of visibility. Water temperature is going to be probably low 80s because that is a shallow water lake. That lake is always shallow, it's always dirty, and it's always a little bit warmer than any other lake in the area. And those fish stay shallow in that lake. The dissolved oxygen content is better up shallow, and they always seem to be up shallow. Covering water with a crankbait of some sort, square bill, just bounce it off of everything you see. White spinnerbait's always good. Buzzbait early in the morning. And if you want to slow down, flip in a jig and some kind of creature bait. Look for main lake stuff, just any kind of hard cover. That lake's got a lot of good fish in it. It gets a lot of pressure. But if you just keep your head down and cover water, you're going to catch a few fish. As far as crappie, the same thing. They're going to be out there in like 8 and 12, always looking for outside grass lines. And any kind of wood, not so much a crab orchard because it doesn't have grass, but Kincaid and Lake of Egypt have grass to offer. So those fish are going to be setting up on the brush anytime now. You're just going to have to go out there and look. Always fish the wind. The wind is your friend. Cannot go wrong with the wind. That's all I got for you.
And we will wrap it up with our buddy Mike Marfell. Lake of the Ozarks is starting to become a full-blown summer pattern. Deep brush in 15 to 20 feet with a jig or a 10-inch Texas rig worm. Funny how that just keeps... Oh.
Yeah, same stuff keeps popping up.
I know. Every week, you know, like it just goes to show you, as much as things change, you know, there's always those reliable traditions and reliable, you know, things that you can count on.
Oh, yeah.
He goes on, keep an eye on the water flow generation, and when they start to pull water, move to the main lake points and bluff ends. It's Lake of the Ozarks, so always a good dock bite, swimming a jig down the sides of the big commercial docks or a square bill crankbait. Top water early and late during low light conditions, or if overcast, or better yet, raining. Whopper plopper or walking style baits working best. Vary the speed of the retrieve until you find what they want. And Mike says that he is at Table Rock for Oak Outdoors Solo Elite 100. Bite is good. And that is where I'll leave it, because some of the guys I fish with listen to the podcast and are pretty savvy. And he says, so I'll reveal the goods next week. Be safe out there. Yeah, be safe out there on the water. Be kind to your fellow anglers. And as always, wear that life jacket and kill switch when the big motor is on. Great stuff there from Mike and from Gabe, and big thanks to everybody who contributes to the fishing report on a weekly basis. And he's telling the truth. I know a lot of guys that tune in and don't miss the fishing report every single week. Again, you can always subscribe to our podcast, Bluff City Outdoors Show podcast, on basically every podcast platform. You can also just get it off the Bluff City Outdoors Facebook page, and that way you never miss anything that happens here on the show. Of course, we are on at 11 a.m. every Saturday, and right now also noon on Sundays here on News Talk STL. Gabe, we're almost out of time. I did want to quickly ask you, because you touched on it there in the fishing report about the water levels, and Mark and I also talked about this a little bit earlier in the show. Definitely low. We're in these drought conditions, but are the water levels making fishing worse, or is it just different? You just need to be aware of some, a different environment when the water's low like this, but does it affect the fishing positively or negatively?
I would say if you're on a lake that's got some places that are a little bit sketchy to run, you're going to have to pay attention. Most of these lakes over here don't. Some of them do have some standing timber that would be safe to run over, and the water drops a foot or foot and a half, you might bump your skag on them. So you got to kind of pay attention to that. But as far as actual fishing, not so much. The fish might just pull out a little bit deeper. It can actually help the frog bite, like I mentioned earlier, because that grass, that milfoil, and that coontail that's growing up, as that water falls, it starts to top out because it doesn't have water over the top of it. And then you get that mat. So you can punch, throw a frog. It kind of opens up a few more opportunities. And it's just, I don't say that it hurts anything. It just makes it slightly different, and you just have to make some daily adjustments and get out there and cast around, see what you find.
And also, before we go, Mark, one more good thing to keep in mind. Not only can you, of course, go out to Bluff City Outdoors right now and stock up the tackle box because it's great time to be out on the water and get out there and go fishing, but also, don't forget, this is also the time of year to start doing prep for the bow season, and no better place to do so than Bluff City Outdoors.
Yeah, like I said, we actually just we made our second full-time bow hire, bow tech back there.
Nice.
Seth Bourne, who's been working part-time, he agreed to come on full-time.
That's fantastic.
And so he'll be starting in 2 weeks full-time, so welcome aboard, Seth. And, yeah, I mean, and we noticed it. The traffic in the shop started picking up this week.
Yeah, yep. That's right around the corner. It doesn't feel like it, but it is.
It is. I mean, you know, we're only a couple months out from the Alton Catfish Classic.
I know,
you know?
That's
I mean,
crazy.
It's just...
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It comes so fast.
Yep, so make sure you are prepared. Now's the time to get out there and prepare for bow season out at Bluff City Outdoors. Also, don't forget about the archery range. You want to shoot. It's open every single day. So is the Techno Hunt System. Leagues starting up in a couple weeks as well out there at Bluff City Outdoors. So lots to do. And, of course, always the go-to place to stock up your tackle box before your next trip out on the water. Bluff City Outdoors in Alton, Illinois, about a mile east of Fast Eddie's. Follow Bluff City on Facebook and also at BluffCityOutdoors.com. And as I mentioned, our podcast and Gabe, of course, also the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. Make sure you're subscribed there to Gabe's channel. And Gabe, appreciate your time as always this afternoon. And we'll let you hang up the phone and get back out there and focus on the water. Really appreciate your time this afternoon, buddy.
Yeah, anytime, man. It's good to talk with you guys and have a great afternoon.
Great. You too.
Thank you so much. And yeah, I can't recommend it enough. The 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. Make sure you are checking that out on a regular basis because the content is across the board. The Monday Night Live, the long form interview style content on the water, you know, watching the guys, watching Gabe and Mike and, you know, fish and watching, you know, that experience. And then also the before and after, you know, the prep before a tournament, talking about things that went right and wrong after a tournament. All of that great content can be found on the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. So make sure you are checking it out. All right, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Bluff City Outdoors Show. For producer Leah and Mark McMurray, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to us here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.